Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name is Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about anxiety. And like many of you, I have struggled with anxiety and its many manifestations on and off for most of my life. And I'm very happy to report that most of the time these days, I feel grounded, calm, and peaceful. I know that I'm in a process because a life is a process, not a destination. And for the most part, I am enjoying the daily process of my life. I've come to believe that we are co-creating our reality. And with the help of a loving higher power, over time, I've been able to structure my life in such a way that I mostly spend time doing things that I really enjoy doing. I love my work. I love where I live. I have this kind of complex structure where I'm going back and forth between New York and California every month, and it really works for me right now. I feel good about most of the relationships in my life, and although I'm still recovering from knee replacement surgery, the worst is over and I'm happy with the improvement. So we have these major areas of our life: physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, sexual, creative, and professional. And when I wake up with anxiety, which is usually when it rears its head, it's first thing in the morning, it's usually because I'm in imbalance in one or more of those areas of my life. And I'm going to share some tools with you that I use that are super helpful to bring peace, calm, presence, and some balance and clarity into my being. Now, the most natural thing we want to do when we're feeling anxious is distract away from it or to medicate it in some way. And I'm not going to get involved in your pharmaceuticals if you take anti-anxiety medication, because I know for a lot of people, wherever they're at, they may really need that to be functional. But I'm here to tell you that anxiety can be healed and drugs are not a long-term solution. A lot of psychopharmaceuticals are treating the symptom of a deeper underlying emotional psycho-spiritual issue that absolutely can and should be resolved, healed, and matured. Discomfort and suffering are information that something's out of alignment or needs attention. And happiness, joy, fulfillment, peace, those let us know that we're on the right path. It's the inner compass each of us gets on this life journey is our own feelings. And medicating or distracting away from them is a short-term solution that can actually have longer-term problems. If I have my hand on a hot stove and I take pain medication so that it doesn't hurt, I can get a lot more badly burned than if I'm actually feeling my feelings and notice, hey, I better take my hand off there. And though it may be counterintuitive to face our pain or discomfort, that's actually where the solution almost always lies. I was talking to a body worker recently who works with acupressure. And acupressure is a derivative of acupuncture, which is a Chinese medical system where there's different energy points all over our body, hundreds of them. And the basic idea behind Chinese medicine is that we have qi or life force flowing through our body, and disease or dysfunction or discomfort is the result of improper flow of that life force. And by putting needles into those areas or applying pressure, you can bring them back into balance so that that energy is just flowing through there and then there's no more pain. And I would say the wisdom of that approach is totally applicable to all these other non-physical areas of our life as well. So just like we might protect an area of our body that's injured or a place where we're holding muscle tension and want to not use it so it doesn't hurt, we generally need to bring attention to it to help participate in the healing process to bring us back into flow. And I've had a lot of experience with this in my body, as well as in my emotions, my psyche, my relationships, and my professional life as well. Generally, if something hurts and we ignore it, it gets worse, not better. Now, there are certainly exceptions to that, and minor injuries or dysfunctions or arguments, emotional outbursts, a lot of times those will heal just like if we bump ourselves and get a bruise. So I'm not talking about circumstantial anxiety, like you have to do a big presentation for work, you're dating somebody new and it's kicked up all of your insecure attachment issues or fear of intimacy. And once you make the work presentation, you feel good about it, the anxiety passes, we develop more time and depth in the relationship, you become more secure. It's kind of a natural, healthy development. But even those minor examples are facing our fears. There are plenty of people who avoid dating completely and don't accept interesting work because they don't know how to cope with the challenge and the potential anxiety or other feelings that those things bring up. And one of the hallmarks of being an emotional grown-up is being able to face and resolve challenging feelings. And I don't even name them good or bad anymore because they're all information. And the feelings I used to consider bad, like sadness or anger, grief or guilt, although they may be really challenging, and that's the word I prefer, they really are part of the flavor, color, and texture of a fully experienced human life. And feelings are often part of the digestive process that we need to participate in to integrate and learn from and be enriched by these life experiences. So growing in the capacity to be able to tolerate and even make friends with our deeper feelings is incredibly important to being a healthy, balanced, fully functioning person. And the first time I had someone tell me to make friends with my feelings, I wanted to tell them to get fucked. Because my feelings were my enemy, and I did everything I could to medicate those mofos. I wanted to be happy, ecstatic, excited all the time. Eternal sunshine, with the help of a lot of drugs and alcohol. You know what happens in eternal sunshine? You get a desert. And though I love the peace of the desert, it does get cold at night. And most of the richest, most vibrant and alive places on the planet get a lot of weather. And we are not separate from the environment. And the natural world has much to teach us about our own inner experience. And weather is an excellent metaphor for our own psychosocial emotional experience. One of the really interesting learning experiences that I've been having in New York City is that it's surprisingly like camping. I have a much more interaction with the weather than I ever have before in my life. I grew up in New England, so four seasons and rain is not new to me, but we always just left our house and got in a car. I don't own a car here. I walked 20 blocks in the rain yesterday, and it was super fun. A little raincoat and an umbrella. Now, granted, you can take the subway, but there's not a subway stop at every corner. You still have to walk 5 or 10 blocks to get there and then walk or bike to wherever you're going on the other side. And so one of the big tools and antidotes to anxiety is to be fully present in this moment right now, accepting and being with what is, not the story or narrative I have in my head about it, but just being fully present. I can name that the rain is bad, but if I open my mind, it's actually beautiful. And if I'm deeply with it, it is life-giving. And so one of the first things I do when I wake up with anxiety is to really come into my body. I like to rub some lavender-infused essential oils because lavender is a really calming, grounding scent for me. So I'll put it on my arms and my chest and my face, do a little self-massage to really, again, come present into my body, giving some love and compassion to this physical container that holds my spirit, and do some deep breathing and listen to some kind of a grounding meditation. Coming out of the narratives in my head, listening. For me, I prefer sound meditations without words, although I create many, many sound meditations with words. And you can find those on YouTube and Insight Timer and on my website if you want some of the guided meditations that I've created. And rather than getting on Instagram or Amazon or Temu, I got sucked into Temu. It's the shopping app the other day. Oh my God. You can get a coat for $23. Cut it out. Anyway, into my email or my texts to just come present into my body, caring and calming, giving love to my physical system. I find journaling incredibly helpful as a tool to just let all of the narrative that's in my head come out onto the paper. No editing, just freeform writing, barf it all up onto the page. And I recommend writing with a pen rather than typing because there is some physical emotional connection that comes out of our hand. And our arm is actually in between our heart and our throat. And in the chakra system, those are the areas of our felt emotional experience and our personal self-expression. So really making room to express those feelings, get them out on paper. I like to write letters to God and Goddess, and sometimes they answer back. And over time, once I've dumped out all of the fearful, anxious programming that's not helpful, my own wise self will answer me back in really helpful ways, opening to my own inspiration and intuition. But I gotta scrape all the crap off first before I get to the good stuff a lot of the time. And a lot of times, anxiety is masking other deeper, more vulnerable feelings, and sitting quietly and just really giving myself a lot of space to feel my own emotions. A lot of times I don't even know they're in there, but sitting quietly for a couple minutes and making room for my feelings is quite powerful. So sitting with compassion, patience, curiosity, what am I really feeling? And those voices are often subtle and quiet, not always. So we don't sit with judgment of ourselves or an agenda of how we think we should feel or shaming ourselves, just really making room like we would for a good friend or someone we love. How are you feeling? We don't need to fix it, just to be present and make room for it. It's part of that life flow, just like in Chinese medicine. Many times when I take the time to sit quietly, what's underneath this anxiousness? There's unexpected tears or anger or some other upset or unresolved issue that the anxiety is pointing to and also kind of pushing down. And feeling our feelings isn't about acting them out on other people. I really do look at emotions very much like a digestive system of our psychic experience. And holding my feelings in is like being emotionally constipated. And over time, it can cause a bowel obstruction. It's probably not coincidental that for the first 25 years of my life, I was chronically constipated, as was my mother, and I believe her mother before that. And it's not a problem that I have anymore. And it's quite fascinating, the correlation, again, with the physical and the non-physical world. Another really important tool for me in managing anxiety is sharing it with trusted friends, advisors, and therapists. Talking it through, because those eight areas of our life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, sexual, social, creative, professional, I can't always figure out where the imbalance is in those areas by myself. And so if meditating, sitting with myself and expressing my feelings, journaling doesn't help, got to make a phone call or an appointment. Asking for and receiving help is, again, a healthy part of being a human. Sharing my vulnerability with others allows me to receive their vulnerability as well. Breathing in and breathing out. And we have to be able to do both. And if my head won't stop, and anxiety is almost always generated by thoughts or core beliefs, then listening to wisdom teachings and the inspiration of others can get some new words going on in my head. Got to change those narratives. So listening to Eckhart Tolle or Tara Brach or any of the hundreds and thousands of brilliant, grounded, generous people creating content out there, so I can get some new, more helpful narratives in my head. It's imperative to exercise and move my body and get out of the house into the larger world, see the birds flying around and the cars driving by, be with some of that weather. Remember, there's a larger system that I'm part of. Take a walk or a run or a bike ride. Go to the gym and lift some weights or take a yoga class. Move the body. Again, that flow. And the last tool I'll suggest, and these don't have to necessarily be in any particular order, is to be of service to someone else. Make a phone call, send an email or a text, and ask someone else how they're doing. particularly somebody who might be having a harder time than you are. There is nothing more healing and transformative than giving to others what I hope to receive myself. So bringing kindness, love, generosity, compassion to another person can have nearly miraculous shifting of my own perspective on what's happening in my own life. So there's an acronym for FEAR, and anxiety is absolutely a manifestation of fear. That FEAR stands for forget everything and run, or it stands for face everything and recover. So I encourage you to turn toward your anxiety. Look deeply. Bring compassion to yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, sexually, creatively, professionally. Sometimes we just need a shift in perspective, and sometimes there are larger changes called for. And when we are willing to grow, the universe rises to support us, to bring us back into that flow that is the source of happiness, joy, and fulfillment that most of us seek. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. Leave me a good review on iTunes or 5 stars on Spotify. Check me out on Insight Timer. I'm always doing free workshops. Wednesday, December 20th, 2023, Transforming Trauma. The link to my Insight Timer profiles in the show notes. Check out my new YouTube channel. I'm starting a little series I call 5-Minute Meditations. You can find this podcast and lots of great conversations with other practitioners in the body, mind, spirit world. If you'd like to find out if a block of spiritual psychology work might benefit you in your life, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. And thanks as always to my generous supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path. Until we meet again, this is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.